Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, August 23rd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a judge says Minneapolis must allow voters to decide the minimum wage issue, and voters looking for a third-party alternative for president. Minnesota Republican Party Chair Keith Downey says more should have been done to protect people from protesters at a Donald Trump fundraiser last week. Some donors complained of being shoved by protesters and shouted at outside the Republican presidential candidate's event Friday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Downey says police should have stepped in to provide safe passage.
Especially when there is a pre-announcement of protest activities that local law enforcement and whoever the proper authorities are for that particular venue provide a basic opportunity to enter and exit the event and not be spit on and not be accosted.
Minnesota DFL Party Chair Ken Martin also condemned protest actions that he said crossed the line, but he accused Republicans of exploiting the conduct of some protesters at the expense of those who demonstrated peacefully. Martin says his party did not organize or promote the protests. Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein will be listed on Minnesota's general election ballot, but with the wrong running mate. Tim Pugmire reports.
To gain ballot access, Green Party of Minnesota volunteers began collecting the required 2,000 signatures months before Stein picked Ajamu Baraka as her vice presidential running mate. The petition had the name of party activist Howie Hawkins for VP, and he now will be on the ballot. Green Party of Minnesota Chair Brandon Long said he's disappointed that the state does not allow for a name substitution without recirculating a revised petition.
We collected 6,700 signatures, and if we were to recollect, that means invalidating the work of dozens of volunteers across the state.
A spokesman for Secretary of State Steve Simon said state law does not allow for a name substitution unless a judge orders one. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
It's hard to find the perfect presidential candidate, and this year the major party options are causing consternation for some people who reliably vote for the Democratic or Republican candidates in each election. Brian Bax talked to several voters who are inclined to choose a third-party candidate for the first time and filed this report.
With one exception decades ago, Amy Anderson is as steady as they come in voting for president.
I voted for Jimmy Carter in my first election as a college student, and ever since then I've voted Republican.
Anderson's long streak is about to come to an end.
I can't vote for Donald Trump. I just can't. It isn't about his policies, it's about his person. I don't think he's trustworthy enough to be the president.
The professor of ancient Greek and the New Testament at a Minneapolis Christian college says their vote will likely go to Libertarian Party nominee Gary Johnson in November. If nothing else, Anderson hopes it sends a message to the Republican Party that it went too far in choosing Trump. She's far from alone, and it's not just Republicans who are griping about their choice. Hundreds of members of NPR's Public Insight Network responded to a question about their support for third-party presidential candidates, with loads of Democrats and Republicans saying they're sizing up alternatives. Brittany Miller is one of them.
I want to look back on my vote and feel like I voted for the person I thought was right for the position.
Miller is 26 and works at a Minneapolis co-op. She considers herself a Democrat and says Bernie Sanders is the first candidate she was truly excited about. Miller sent him money. But now she's planning to vote for the Green Party's Jill Stein instead of Hillary Clinton, even though she fully expects the Democratic nominee to prevail.
Going to be president, and I am kind of disappointed about it. I mean, to me, she's like a great 1960s Republican. She's just not nearly as progressive as the candidate that I would want to vote for.
It's also the case with 65-year-old Kathy Murphy, a preschool teacher who lives in St. Louis Park. She's a lifelong Democrat who has been to state party conventions and is involved in local politics. Murphy says the scenario is a nightmare because she would love to help a woman become president. But she's worried that Clinton is too hawkish with her foreign policy and wouldn't shy from getting U.S. troops involved in more global conflicts. Clinton's natural advantage in a state that has backed every Democratic candidate in the past 10 elections gives Murphy comfort in going a different direction.
I definitely will vote, and I'm watching it to see, you know, what happens as we get closer to the date. If Minnesota is still solidly Democratic, then chances are I'll vote for the Green. that way I get to vote for a woman at least.
That Minnesota doesn't seem to be in play was a common escape valve for voters I spoke with. They said their calculations would be different if the vote for a third-party candidate could leave them with the outcome they feared the most.
Now, if I was in a swing state, I'd be more angst-ridden about it.
That's Lake City artist and gallery owner Gene Matheny. The 54-year-old has always voted Republican for president. This campaign, she started off behind Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, then caucused for Florida Senator Marco Rubio. But Matheny says Trump can't count on her support. She questions whether he's a true conservative. Matheny lumps Trump with Clinton in declaring both unfit for the office.
In terms of character, I think he's fundamentally dishonest. I think Hillary Clinton is as well. So it's a question of character in his case, even more than policy, because I don't think he really has any governing principles.
Matheny says she's leaning toward Evan McMullen. The former CIA operations officer and congressional Republican policy director is expected to be on the Minnesota ballot as an Independence Party candidate. None of the people I talk to thinks their third-party fallback has a real shot at winning. But if a third-party candidate nets 5% of the Minnesota vote, that would sprout a new major party for elections moving forward, affording automatic ballot access and public campaign subsidies for state candidates in 2018 races. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A judge in Minneapolis has ordered city officials to put a minimum wage proposal on the ballot in November. The ruling caps a long-running campaign to raise the minimum wage in the city to $15 an hour. The city council turned down a charter amendment petition for that proposal earlier this month, but yesterday's decision appears poised to reverse that. Tim Nelson has more.
The opinion by Hennepin County District Court Judge Susan Robiner sets the stage for a historic vote in Minneapolis. The 13-page ruling orders city and county elections officials to put the proposed charter amendment on the November 8th general election ballot. Robiner rejected the city's argument that the municipal charter restricts ballot initiatives solely to the function of local government and not to publicly applicable ordinances. And she said the political arena, and not the courts, is likely the appropriate forum for sorting out the minimum wage matter. Her ruling said, quote, "Courts need to tread judiciously when they enter the legislative realm. To reject this proposal based on its content somehow being improper, which the city urges, amounts to passing judgment on the quality of the proposal, which is not the province of the court," unquote. Supporters hailed the decision. Ginger Jensen is executive director of 15 Now Minnesota, a minimum wage advocacy group.
Today's decision really strikes a blow against, you know, the influence of corporate politics and downtown business interests. And now we're going to wage a massive campaign and call on all 15 supporters and working people in Minneapolis to really build this grassroots movement to win in November.
Jensen's group was one of three pushing for the ballot change. They turned in a petition with more than 17,000 signatures, and city officials said there were hundreds more valid signatures than necessary to get on the ballot. But City Attorney Susan Siegel issued a legal opinion last month advising the 13-member city council to reject the measure, saying a charter amendment wasn't an appropriate mechanism for establishing employment legislation. Others have argued that state law trumps city ordinance and cities risked preemption by the legislature to stop a patchwork of local regulation. Minneapolis Regional Chamber of Commerce Interim President John Stanek urged the city to appeal Robiner's ruling quickly. Ballot language for November has to be finalized by Friday to be ready for voters. Stanek said the chamber has grave concerns about a big hike in the minimum wage if voters approve the measure. The current minimum hourly rate in Minnesota is $7.75 for small employers, trainees, and teenagers, and $9.50 for large employers.
We know this will impact many of our members and will be a significant issue for many of them.
And Stanek says businesses fear it could backfire for low-wage workers.
Our concern from a policy perspective has been if you increase minimum wage hourly for some employees, do others find themselves in a situation where they have reduced hours or jobs that are eliminated in order to allow businesses to absorb the cost of a minimum wage increase?
But supporters said gradually hiking the minimum wage, starting with $10 an hour next year and moving to $15 an hour by the year 2020, is a way to fight poverty and racial disparity. Mike Griffin is field director for Neighborhoods Organizing for Change, another advocacy group.
We're going to, in the next couple of weeks, be launching a very large grassroots campaign. We're planning on talking to tens of thousands of voters several times over the next 2 months. Last week, we released polling information that said about 68% of Minneapolis voters will vote yes on the ballot initiative. That's a good place to start.
Through a spokesman, Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges declined to comment on the ruling and wouldn't say whether the city intends to appeal today's ballot decision. Judge Robiner also heard arguments earlier this month on another ballot petition to require Minneapolis police to carry liability insurance. The judge has not yet ruled on that matter. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.